Amen. You may have a seat. Good morning, Wake. How we doing? Awesome. My name is Jermaine Harrison, if we've never met before, and I am the Students Director here at Watermark, and it is such a joy to get to be with you guys this morning as we continue our series going through the summer, Summer in the Psalms. And if you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 is the psalm that we're going to be studying today. If you're going to be looking at it on your phone, make sure you put your phone on Do Not Disturb so you can really focus in on what God's word has to say for the next 12 to 15 minutes. And to set up where we're going, I want to share something with you. When I was your age, and even on into my early 20s, I had a faulty view of what would make me happy. I had an incorrect view of what would make me feel and experience fulfillment, joy, and satisfaction. So much so that one of my friends made a picture for me of all of the things that I thought would bring me happiness and fulfillment. And I want to show you that picture. You want to see it?
Yeah.
All right, let's see it. It's right here. So let me walk you through this. I thought that being someone that experienced happiness and fulfillment meant that I was married to Jennifer Aniston. I had a huge crush on her. She was the best. When I was your age. I mean, I'm sure she's still great. But when I was your age, I thought that she was the best. Who wouldn't want to be married to Jennifer Aniston? I have a Ford F-150. I don't even like pickup trucks. But I was like, that's what people that I respect and that seem to be happy drive. So pickup truck. There's an awesome house in the background. I've graduated from college, as you can see the cap. I'm on LeBron James's body. I'm just a little bit shorter than him. And so I was like, you know, what would make me really happy and fulfilled is if I was just a little bit taller, 6'8". And not only that, I have a ton of cash in my hands. I thought being satisfied and fulfilled would mean not having to worry about where money was coming from to provide for any need that I had. And so, as you can see from this, there's the satisfaction in life of possessions, of opportunities, of relationships, of status, of power. All of those things were things that I believed when I was your age and even a little bit older, that I believe would bring me happiness and fulfillment. So the question I want to ask, the reason I start there with that photo is to present to you the question and for you to consider, if you were to create a picture like mine, what would be in yours? What would be the things for you that bring you happiness and fulfillment? Would it be a relationship? Would it be a change in your family? Would you be richer? Would you have something that you really, really want to have? Would you have a relationship? Would you be able to go on the best vacations? Whatever it might be, I want you to imagine in your mind your picture of what happiness and fulfillment is. And here's the thing. Left to ourselves, every single one of us will come up with a different picture, a different perspective of happiness and fulfillment. But what if God's word actually gives us exactly what it looks like to be happy and fulfilled? And what if it has nothing to do with money, pleasure, possessions, riches, relationships, or anything else that you think will grant you and give you happiness and fulfillment? So we're going to spend our time in Psalm 1, and we're going to be answering this question: how does the Bible define happiness and fulfillment? What picture of happiness and fulfillment does the Bible give us? Because like I said, every single one of us probably has a different picture in our minds of what makes us happy, of what makes us fulfilled, of what gives us joy and meaning and purpose. But what does God's word have to say? Because God's word is true. It is powerful. It is the very word of God written to you on your behalf. And God wants you to know how you can experience happiness and how you can experience fulfillment. So here's what he says in Psalm 1. Verses 1 through 3, in answering that question, what truly defines happiness and fulfillment? Psalm chapter 1, we'll just read three verses and we'll break it down. It says this, blessed is the man or the woman, so blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And so I want to jump back to the very first phrase that's written in the very first psalm as we understand this biblical definition of happiness and fulfillment. He says, blessed is the man, or blessed is the person. A better way of even translating that word, blessed, is happy or fulfilled or content. So as you read Psalm 1 and it says, blessed is the person, think of it as happy is the person, fulfilled is the person, content is the person. That does what? He gives us three examples or illustrations to avoid if we want to truly experience happiness and fulfillment, right? He says happy, fulfilled, blessed, content is the person that is marked by these three things. Number one, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So in other words, what the psalmist David is saying is that happy is the man, happy is the woman who doesn't let bad advice lead them, right? The verse says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, who doesn't get advice, who doesn't get bad advice from those who surround them. Happy is the person. If you want to be happy, if you want to be fulfilled, if you want to experience meaning and purpose in your life, don't let bad advice lead you. Because here's the thing. There's a lot of people and places in the world that are telling you how you should think, telling you how you should dress, telling you how you should speak, telling you how you should treat other people. There's so many influences in our world saying, dress like me, act like me, look at what I look at, celebrate what I celebrate. You are getting advice everywhere you turn. But the person who is truly happy, who is truly fulfilled, they do not let the bad advice from the world influence them to view the world or to act in a way that doesn't honor God. And so here's my question for you. Where do you get your advice? Where do you get your advice? Do you get your advice from your friends? Do you get your advice from your favorite YouTuber or your favorite streamer? Do you get your advice from maybe a family friend or even a cousin or a parent who isn't following the Lord? Where do you get your advice? Because your answer to that question is really, really important. Because the person who is happy and fulfilled and blessed does not let bad advice lead them. Here's the second kind of negative example that he gives. If you want to be someone who is happy and fulfilled, you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And second, you don't stand in the way of sinners. And so what he's saying here is that happy, fulfilled, content is the person who doesn't follow the example of those who are far from God, right? He says, nor stands in the way of sinners. The picture is standing in the pathway that those who are far from God are inviting you to walk on. So if you want to experience happiness and fulfillment, you don't follow the example of those who are far from God. And I'll just wrap this segment up with a question. If your life were a TV show, and you know every day there was a 30-minute episode to kind of summarize what happened throughout that day, what you did, what you said, where you went, how you treated others, what you thought about, how you interacted with your parents or your siblings or your peers. If someone were to watch the TV show of your life, if you will, that 30-minute episode, who would they say your life most resembles? Would they say, oh, his life or her life, it most resembles this person that they always spend time with, or this person that they always watch, or this person that they listen to or read about? Who would you say if someone were to watch an episode of your life, who would they say your life most resembles? Because a happy person, a truly happy person, a truly fulfilled person has their life and their example flow from God's word and from God's people. Thirdly, he says, if you want to be happy, if you want to be fulfilled, experience meaning and purpose, you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, and you don't stand in the way of sinners, and you don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, what does that mean, to sit in the seat of scoffers? Someone who's a scoffer, someone who does this. That's a scoffer. And so he's basically saying that there are certain people out there who scoff at God. In other words, they dismiss God. They say, hey, God isn't actually real. And even if he is real, he doesn't care about what we do, say, and how we live our lives. So let's forget about him and let's do our own thing. Let's enjoy our lives. Let's make the choices that make us feel good. And so that's what a scoffer does. And if you want to be truly happy and truly fulfilled, happy is the person who doesn't dismiss God, who doesn't scoff at God. And so that lends us to consider a very important question. Who do you guys spend your time with? Who do you surround yourself with? Are you surrounded by people who want to honor God and to follow God and to love God and to know God? Or are you surrounded by people who are like, forget about God. Let's do our own thing. Let's seek our own desires. Let's go our own way. See, if you want to be truly satisfied and happy and fulfilled, happy is the person who doesn't dismiss God. So he gives you these three, like I said, negative examples, things that someone who is truly happy, truly fulfilled doesn't do. They don't listen to bad advice. They don't follow bad examples. And they don't dismiss God. But then he goes on the positive aspect and he talks about what does a person who is happy and fulfilled and satisfied and content actually do? And we see that in verse 2. But his delight, the person who is happy and content and fulfilled, his delight is in what? Is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in God's word, and on his law he meditates day and night. And so there's a delighting in God's word, treasuring it, going, wow, lots of millennia ago, God allowed holy men to write these words because he wanted us to know him. He wanted us to understand him. He wanted us to follow him. He wanted us to see how great the depth of the love that he has for us, specifically through his son, Jesus, and his death, his burial, and resurrection from the dead. And so the person who is happy and fulfilled and content, they delight in God's word and they meditate on God's word. Why? Because God's word ultimately points to and is fulfilled in Jesus. And so we gaze at God's word, we look into it, we spend time with it, we seek to understand it, because in it, we get to know and understand the love of God. We get to see and understand his character and get to embrace the love that is on display through Jesus Christ. Then in verse 3, he says, he goes on to give an example or an illustration of the person who delights in God's word and meditates on God's word day and night. Here's what he says is true of that person. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. This is verse 3. And its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. When I think of this verse, this picture comes to mind. This picture of the greenest trees I've literally ever seen. And the reason those trees are really, really green is what? Where is it planted? Exactly. It's planted by a stream of water that is continuing to provide it with the nutrients it needs. These trees have everything they need so that they can flourish and grow and produce fruit. And the illustration is the same with you. If you are a person who delights in God's word, if you are a person who regularly reflects on God's word, guess what's going to be true about your life? You're going to be like that. You're going to be like a tree that's planted by streams of water, and you will yield fruit in its season. And even when there's difficulties that you're experiencing in life, guess what? You're going to stand strong and stand firm and continue to flourish. Why? Not because you're strong enough, not because you're smart enough, but because of where you're planted, where you spend time in God's word. And so the question I want to leave you with is this, another kind of illustration is this. How many of you guys have ever, you know, allowed one day to go by and you didn't eat food? Raise your hand if you haven't eaten food for one day at some point in your life. Yep, there you go, there you go, there you go. Okay, put your hands back down. How many of you have not eaten food for 2 days before? Yep, yep. How about 3 days? No food, just water, or maybe not even water. Okay, well, about 4 days? There you go. It's getting less and less. What about 5 days? You haven't eaten food for 5 whole days. Okay. Okay. Here's the thing. The human body can only survive on not eating food on average for about 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, you are in serious trouble. Why is that? Because your body needs food. Your body needs nourishment. Your body needs refreshment, right? So that it can continue to function and thrive and flourish. And in the very same way, I want you to think about your relationship with God. And if you want to be someone who is fulfilled, someone who is content, someone who is happy and blessed, imagine if you only ate food once every 5 days. Imagine if you only ate food once every couple of weeks. And by food, I mean planting yourself, delighting in, and spending time in God's word. Imagine if you only did that very occasionally. In fact, let me put it like this in this question. If the Bible is food for your soul, and it is, if the Bible is food for your soul, just like food is nourishment to your physical body, if the Bible is nourishment for your spiritual well-being, how is your soul doing right now? How would you honestly answer that question? I think that's a very important question to consider, maybe even talk about in your discussion groups when you dismiss here in just a second. If the Bible is food for your soul, how is your soul doing right now? Because the person who is truly happy and fulfilled and experiences contentment that lasts forever, that isn't just temporary. Here's the thing about all the places that we run to for fulfillment in this world. You know, through all the examples I gave at the beginning, like money and possessions and relationships and all of those things, they kind of give you some fulfillment, kind of, for a short amount of time. But what gives you happiness and true fulfillment and lasting contentment is to be someone who spends time in God's word, who delights in it and meditates on it. You'll be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and your leaf won't wither when hard times come, and whatever you do, you prosper. And that doesn't mean that your life will be perfect. But it means that your life will be marked by increasing measure of joy and satisfaction that comes from walking with Jesus. So let me pray that you would. God, thank you so much for Psalm 1. And thank you so much that your word is clear on where we find happiness and fulfillment and contentment. And God, I pray that every single one of us in this room would seek our satisfaction and contentment in you. Not in anything that this world can provide. And thank you that you made a way for us to experience fulfillment and satisfaction in you through your son, Jesus, and his death, burial, and resurrection. I pray that we would all embrace that today, that we would all delight in and meditate on your word every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.